This is a great Sunday of the year called Easter Sunday. And all throughout Christendom, they're celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, the difference between us and all the other so-called religions is their founders or their leader is still in the grave. And ours is not. A little funny story. Sunday school teacher was trying to encourage her class that and assure them that Jesus was everywhere all the time with them. He was everywhere. A little girl thought about it for a little while and then she said, "I know one place Jesus isn't." The teacher very curiously said, "Oh, really? Where's that?" The little girl boldly declared, "He's not in the grave." Jesus is alive and well. They once laid him down in death, but he rose in life. I've been to that tomb in Israel, and many of you have too, that they think is where they laid Jesus. At least it's one like it anyway. And I'm going to tell you, it's empty. The Roman soldiers thought it's impossible. The Jewish leaders knew it would be a catastrophe if he rose from the dead. And they all sighed with the relief when they sealed him in that tomb. Susan Coolidge says, "Our saddest day and gladdest day were just 3 days apart." Another individual said, William Lane Craig, American theologian, said, "The resurrection turned catastrophe into victory." There are many different Christian denominations today, and they don't agree on everything. But all of them agree on one thing. Christ has risen from the dead. Now go with me. As one of the sermons that I preached in this, the hope of Easter. Jesus had eaten the Passover feast with his disciples. And it's there that he instituted what we call the Lord's table or the Eucharist when he took the cup and the bread. And from there he went out to the Garden of Gethsemane. And he knelt and he prayed, "Lord, if it be possible, let this pass." But he said, "Nevertheless, your will be done." They came and took him. He went through a mock trial. And then they beat his back with the cat of nine tails. They took him to Calvary's hill and laid him down. And they nailed his hands and his feet to that cross. They raised it up. Dropped it into the hole in the ground. And there he hung, suspended between heaven and earth. And that cross, and what happened on that cross, will become the bridge that once again connected God's man with heaven and earth. As the blood poured from his hands and his feet and from the crown of thorns and from the spear that was thrust into his side, he looked up one last time and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And with one last breath, he said, "It is finished," and his head slumped to his chest. And at that moment, at noontime, it become dark as night. And that curtain that was 3 feet wide and about 20 foot tall in that temple that held the presence and the power of God was ripped from top to bottom. Because God said, after this, no more will I tabernacle in houses of stone, but I will come and make my abode in my man that I created. Because the Sabbath was approaching, which was the Jewish Saturday, they got him off of the tree. They wrapped him in cloth and they put him in the grave and they sealed the tomb. Now, it's a sad day. The disciples, the apostles, and the followers didn't know what to do. And now go with me to Matthew 28, verse 1. Early on Sunday morning, New Living Translation, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to visit the tomb. Suddenly there was a great earthquake. An angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled the stone, and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell in a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the woman and said, "Don't be afraid." He said, I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said it would happen. Come and see where his body was laying. And now go quickly and tell his disciples he is risen from the dead and he's going ahead of you into Galilee." The women ran quickly from the tomb. They were frightened, but also filled with great joy as they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. Those three words, "he is risen," are three great words. Those words, "he has risen," wipe the grief from their hearts and put joy into them. Those three words gave mankind hope for a new start in life. Those three words, "he is risen," has given mankind, us, a hope for new possibilities. All Christianity is based on that single thing. Christ has risen from the grave. This was confirmed by many different witnesses. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15:3 in the New Living Translation. Paul says, "I passed on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the scripture said. He was buried and he raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scripture said. He was seen by Peter and then by the 12. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he was seen by James and later by all the apostles. Last of all, as though I had been born out at the wrong time, I saw him." Paul saw him as he came to Paul to teach him. Paul here mentions many, many that saw him after he was raised from the dead, giving irrefutable proof that he was alive. Paul considered this, and he said it here, what is the most important truth. He considered this the most important truth. And you would say, why? Because all of Christendom hinges on the fact that he rose from the grave. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:13, but if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Without the resurrection, there is no basis for what we believe. H.P. Liddon, the English theologian, said, faith in the resurrection is the very keystone of the ark of Christian faith. And when it's removed, all must inevitably crumble into ruins. In the Word of God, in the Gospels, we see the events of the resurrection being revealed. The book of Acts, as the apostles begin to speak, there is a record as they gave the proclamation, he is not dead, he has risen from the grave. You go in the epistles, and the significance of the resurrection of Christ is explained. And you go to the book of Revelation, and it shows us that this resurrected Christ will return again. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I say the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm talking about us who have been redeemed by the blood that flowed from Calvary's hill. It says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Thank God for that old song that we sing. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath that, lose all their guilty stain. When he was on the cross, he looked down the annals of time. And he said, every drop of blood that's flowing from my body is flowing for you and flowing for me, so that we could be redeemed. But that would all been in vain if he had not risen from the dead. You know, the New Testament shows us that Christ raising from the dead was the most vital, important thing that happened on those 3 days. He died. He was put in a grave. But on that third day, as the S-U-N was peeping its head over the eastern horizon, there wasn't no grave that was going to hold that body down. The S-O-N rose out of that grave to become the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Ah, friend, I want to tell you something. The New Testament writers were convinced of the revelation, of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The early church fathers expressed their consent to knowing that he had risen from the dead. If you study church history, and you'll find out that all the reformers in church history, they connected everything to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And all the major revivalists through the years have proclaimed that Christ is alive, and that's what brings salvation to man. Everything about this weekend, the Easter weekend, rests upon Jesus dying, being buried, and being resurrected. The apostles centered their preaching on the resurrection. Go to Acts 1:22 in the New Living. From the time he was baptized by John until the day he was taken from us, whoever is chosen will join as a witness of Jesus' resurrection. Acts 2:31. David looked into the future, speaking of the Messiah's resurrection, and saying that God would not leave him among the dead or allow his body to rot in the grave. Acts 4:2, these leaders were disturbed that Peter and John were teaching people that through Jesus there is a resurrection from the dead. Now we need to stop here a moment and realize when they're talking about a resurrection from the dead, they're talking about spiritual death. Remember, the Bible says you were dead in your trespasses and sin, yet you are breathing. It's talking about spiritual death that came to this world when Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden. And that's why it's so important that Jesus rose from the dead, because with that, when we believe in him, we are transformed from death to life. The apostles, 4:33, Acts 4:30, the apostles testified powerfully to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and God's great blessing upon them. They're preaching, and you can read it in history. They're in also the Word of God, brought much persecution from the Jewish leaders. Why? Because if the resurrection was true, then what the Jewish leaders were saying was wrong. For preaching this one truth, the apostles were persecuted. Some were even martyred for their belief in the resurrection and preaching of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The persecution grew so intense that they spread out all over the world. And their message was, Christ has raised from the dead. Tradition tells us that all of them but John was martyred because they believed and preached Jesus was resurrected. You know, the 12 apostles of Jesus suffered and fought battles for the future generation, so they could believe in the resurrection of Christ and receive a new life. This might, and it's not very good, but it's on. The founding fathers of our United States of America, they suffered and fought battles so that we, the future, could live in this free country. The apostles did the same thing so that you and I spiritually could have salvation. They testified that they had seen Jesus after he had been raised from the dead. They never once denied it. They were beaten. They were tortured. They were stoned. They were put in prison. And they could not have endured that if it were not the truth. They would have recanted. The message of the disciples in the early church was clear. Our salvation depends upon the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 4:10 says, Peter, preaching there to them, said, let me clearly state to all of you and to all these people of Israel that he, now he's talking about the lame man that was raised at the gate called Beautiful, okay? Was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, the man you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. For Jesus is the one referred to in the scriptures where it says, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else. God has no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. The message of Christ's resurrection must be proclaimed and repeated time and time again. We must continually preach Jesus Christ rose from the dead and is alive and well. The resurrection of Christ gives us hope of a tomorrow. I'm talking about in the heaven, the spiritual world. You see, the resurrection is not meant for just historical benefit. It's not meant for just so that mankind would know about it. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ was designed so mankind in every generation would know that there's a way for freedom and experience salvation. 1 Corinthians 15 again. Let's go there. The 13th verse. We go back there. For if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless and your faith is useless. And we apostles would all be lying about God. For we have said that God raised him from the grave. But that can't be true. If there is no resurrection of the dead, and if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless. You are still guilty of your sins. In that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world. God raised him from the dead after 3 days. If God can raise him from the dead after 3 days, then our hope in God can surely assure us that any situation that we find ourselves in today, God can raise us up out of it. He can raise us up to victory. All of the promises of God in the Holy Word hinge on the fact that Christ came out of the grave. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ opens the door so all of the promises of God can become a reality in your life and in my life. You see, Romans 6:4 says, for we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. You know, how many of you have been baptized in water? You know, because we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, we were raised from spiritual death to spiritual life. But the baptism in water is simply a representation of the same thing that's happened spiritually in the natural. You go under the water and you're raised out of the water. And like Christ raising from the grave. You see, it is significant that we understand that we have been adopted in the family of God through Christ's resurrection from the dead, which because of what he did on the cross, he paid the obligation of sin. And when he arose from the grave, he gave us the opportunity to believe in him, to accept him, and to have a new life and a new status in life through the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ has risen from the tomb so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. John 10:10, you all know it. The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. But my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life, or life more abundantly, as the New King James said. 2 Corinthians 5:17, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new creature, or a new person in Christ. The old is gone and the new has begun. Galatians 2:20, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Receiving Christ as our Savior causes us to be resurrected from the life of sin to the life with God. Today, it is very important that we realize and celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Realize its meaning. Realize what it means to us that believe in Jesus. Because without his resurrection, then it's, as Paul said, it's to no avail. Philip Scaff, a church historian, said this: the resurrection of Christ is either the greatest miracle or the greatest delusion which history records. I'm here to tell you today, it's not a delusion. It is a fact. Christ rose from the dead. A story is told of an African man that was of another religion, and he converted to Christianity. And his friends asked him, "Why have you become a Christian?" His answer was quite amusing, but it's quite true. "Well, it's like this. Suppose you were going down the road, and suddenly the road forked in two directions, and you didn't know which way to go. There at the fork in the road were two men. One was dead and one was alive. Who would you ask which way to go?" That's a great answer, isn't it? Jesus is alive, and he'll help you go in the right direction. Through his death, burial, and resurrection, all that believe in him will have eternal life. Bow your heads with me, please, for just a moment. If you happen to be in this crowd today, if you happen to be watching on that live stream of this service, if you're here and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, or you know what it is to live for Christ, but you know you're not living where you're supposed to, I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you. In this room, if that's you, I want to see your hand right now. Put it up right now, upstairs, downstairs, anywhere. Put your hand up. I want to pray for you so that you can believe. There's a hand. You can believe in this resurrected Jesus. There's a hand over here. Thank you. Up in the balcony. Ushers, help me. It's hard to see up there with these TV lights. Over here, there's another one. I see another hand. Thank you. I want to ask everybody to do one more thing for me. Will you please stand? And I want to ask you to do one more thing, because I said I wanted to pray with you and for you. I'm going right down here to the front. If you raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, should have raised your hand, I want you to step out in that aisle right now and come right down here so I can shake hands with you and pray with you. Come on right now. Come on right now. If you raised your hand, God bless you. Just wait for the rest of us. If you're in the balcony, the ushers will help you get down here. Come on. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, come on down here now. Come on down here now. You're never too young. You're never too old. Bless you, man. You're never too old. You're never too young. Come on. Come on.
Jesus,
God bless you. God bless you. Hey, buddy. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Hey, come on. This is your time to change your life forever. I know. I thought I saw something coming from the balcony. I saw some people walking. I don't know. Come on. If you wanted to raise your hand, should have raised your hand. Come on now. is your opportunity. This is your time to change your life forever. Anybody coming from the balcony? I guess they were just leaving. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else want to come? Come on now. Come on now if anybody else wants to come. Come on now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. All of you that are standing here, look my direction. I got two books in my hand, two little books, The New Birth and In Him. This tells you about salvation, rededication. This tells you about who you are in Christ. If I said I'm going to give them to you and I reach my hand out here like this, what you got to do to get them? Somebody show me. You got to take them. They're y'all's. Hey, listen to me. Every one of you are going to get those same books in just a moment. I did that as a simple little exercise. I can give you a book, but I can't give you the spiritual thing that you come down here for. It comes from heaven on high, from Jesus Christ that sits at the right hand of the Father, that resurrected Jesus. So I just want you to reach one hand, don't care which one, just like she reached out. And with that hand, he's saying, okay, God, I'm reaching up to get what I come down here for. Congregation, reach your hands out here and pray for them right now as I pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for each one of these that have come today. I thank you that every spiritual need in their life will be met today. Salvation, rededication, a no-so experience with you. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Put your hands down. Look at me for just a moment. I'm going to ask you to go to a place of prayer where you can be prayed with individually and in depth. I want you to follow Brother Greg to that place. We call it a prayer room this morning, but every Sunday morning for you adults, it becomes a classroom called Turning Point. You say, what in the world is Turning Point? It's just a few classes to help you get your life turned on to God or back on to God. That's all it is. And I'd like to see you in there next Sunday morning. They'll tell you about it. The rest of you, when you get in there, they're going to give you those books, a letter from me, and so forth. So would you just turn and follow him to that place right now? Give them a hand as they go. Praise the Lord.